Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though you only have 7 days before the Lazarus Project passes the checkpoint on Netflix, take time now for Battleborn Tech, broadcasting every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 Carson City, while streaming live and later on demand at knvc.org. Wondering if USB-C is just a passable grade or something to do with tech on boats? Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. Before you flip over that USB for the third time, flip open a phone and call us, 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome Steve, Lee, and Joan. The opinions expressed in the show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Core. KNVC makes it audible. Computer Core makes it functional. We make it debatable.
Just wait until they come out with USB-D. Are they going to come out with USB-D? I don't know.
Maybe.
It'll all be AI and none of us will exist anymore. The singularity will be achieved. We've got 3 phone calls today and they're all kind of on the long side. So we don't really have a lot of room for news, and trust me, there's a lot of news out there.
Joe, I want to tell you, if you're Verizon, I was just checking before the show, if you're a Verizon user and you don't have any service, in the immortal words of the IT crowd, have you tried turning it off and on again? Verizon says if your phone didn't reconnect after the outage, phones, restart your engines.
There's something about always flipping over your USB to see if it connects then, and something about rebooting your phone. Chances are it's going to work a lot better. So, all right, we've got 3 phone calls today. Let's kick off with Steve. And Steve has some laptop battery issues. And PSA, please don't stick needles or pins into your laptop battery. You will not like those results.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Steve. I was calling because I got a question about Windows 11.
Okay.
If you have it on your laptop, how you can tell what your battery's history or strength or whatever you want to call it, whether you should replace it or is it good, you know, for a while. Is there any way to check that in Windows 11 on a laptop?
The great news is that it's built in. There is a command called power config that does all sorts of things with power on laptops, like when to shut it off and what set of settings do you want, all sorts of things. But one of the things it has is called battery report, and the bad news is it's a little hard to get to. You have to run it from the command line as an administrator, which isn't too awful bad. You want to get to the command prompt or on Windows 11, they call it terminal. If you do the right click, you'll see terminal admin. And then you got to say a little yes, and you get like the old DOS command line CLI. And then you can choose command prompt, or you can do Windows S and type command prompt for search and command prompt. And then it'll come up with it and you can click run as administrator. That's very important to say run as administrator, not just run. That drops you down into a little, black window and you type in, hope you're listening or ready to listen to record again, but power config without the vowels and config. So power CFG and then a space and then a slash and then battery report. And then now that will work, but that will just put the output someplace you can't get it, which isn't helpful. So you continue on after that battery port, all one word. You do battery port output, and then you would put in where you're going to put that file, where you're going to put the output. It actually makes a little web page. So we can put C, we can put it on the root directory. So C colon, for most people, battery hyphen report dot HTML. You can call it whatever you want at the front, but you really need HTML or HTM at the end. Close quote. So you do that and hit enter, and it will say battery life report saved, and it says where. Then you go back into Windows, unless you like mucking around with the command line, which is fine, and go to wherever you saved it. In my case, I saved it under the root directory, the C directory. So I go under Explorer, Windows C, and I see batteryreport.html, and you click on that. You get a very pretty, colorful page of information. It tells you all about your battery. It talks about how long they've been running and what their charges was and what their history was. But what you want to look at is what the design capacity is and what their design capacity and full charge capacity. So, you know, they come brand new. They have a certain capacity, how big it is. Say it's 1,000. And maybe now, after a few years, actual capacity is only, I don't know, 800. A lot of people like to replace a battery when they're under 80%. If it's under 50%, you'll probably be really annoyed about it. So that's what you're looking at, full charge capacity versus design capacity over time. And that tells you how healthy your battery was. That's kind of easy way. Is that something what you were looking for?
Yeah, it is. I wanted to distinguish what my battery's life was like, whether I should replace it or not.
Yeah, that gives you a good idea. You know, hey, if you're at 90%, oh, well, you're going to have to look at some other things. You can do a lot of things to conserve battery. The most easiest and most apparent thing is turn down the brightness of your screen. That's the one that's usually is sucking up the most, especially if you have a solid state drive. Most of your power is going to brighten up that screen and refresh it. So if you can turn down the brightness, you get a little more battery life out. In fact, another power settings, if you do the power settings in Windows, it has different, you can change things. Some of it is for long life, or some of it's performance, and you want to take a look at that. It does things like brightness, turning off the screen after a couple minutes instead of after half an hour, that kind of stuff.
Is that like economy settings?
Yeah, economy, it could be. And you can do that under search, and you do choose a power plan. You do power, and then choose a power plan. And you can get balanced or power saver. And if you look real close, they'll also show you high performance. So you can switch that over to power saver, see how you like that. It basically dims the screen and turns off the computer, puts it to sleep quick, and turns off the screen quick. There's a third thing. I know this might be too much, Steve, but when you first start up a computer, usually there's a key that you can do to get into BIOS. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
You could, before it gets to Windows. Like on the Dell, it's an F12. If you do that F12, I think on the HP, it's F2 or F4, maybe Escape. You can do that and click on that when you first turn it on from a power off. And it'll get you into, in the Dell case, a menu. One of them is diagnostics, and one of the diagnostics is battery. So that way you can check, if you want to check another way,
BIOS?
Huh?
And that's through the BIOS?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of next door to the BIOS. It's actually built-in diagnostics. We've gone from BIOS to UEFI. It's hard to tell where one ends and one begins. But, on the Dell's F12, and I think you're going to have to look up the documentation of HP's, but it's the lower numbers, like maybe Escape. just as it's starting up. And they have various diagnostics tests. You can check it. It checks video. It checks charger, battery, all sorts of things. So you might want to take a look at ZenerWell. And that will tell you, it usually say how healthy the body is, the battery is, and tells you what percentage.
Okay.
So, all right. Good. So there's a couple different ways. You don't even have to spend money for them.
I don't like spending money.
Okay. Well, there are paid programs out there, but you don't need it if this will do you. All right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, Steve.
Well, if you're looking for a software solution, I take a look at Bellark Analyst. It has a battery percentage display that shows how much you get now and compared to a full charge. And that's bbtl.ink/Bellark, B-E-L-A-R-C. Remember, bbtl.ink/stats for all of our latest. If you're looking to reboot and get into BIOS and check it out that way, it depends on your computer, which key will get you in. You're most likely going to do an F2 is a really good chance. You have to look it up to be sure for yours. Sometimes it's delete. Sometimes on the Dell, it's F12 for the menu that tells you what you can do. Lenovo even has an F1, and they used to have a little dedicated button for BIOS. So if you want to look at it there, you can take a look. There's a lot of information in the diagnostics that you probably want to look at anyway.
We've got another phone call here, and Lee, our Linux guru, is on the search for a clipboard app. Let's see what we can all come up with together here.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello, Chrissy. This is Linux Lee again, and I'm delving into the world of Linux with my new Raspberry Pi. I have the Raspberry Pi 500. It's a neat little keyboard, and it's plugged into a nice big monitor, so I don't have to look at a little dinky laptop screen anymore.
Okay. Well, off you go. Yeah. What's up? What's this Linux challenge of the week?
Well, so the thing I was when I was addicted to, when I had my my Microsoft addiction, I was very fond of using the snipping tool, and I had a keyboard shortcut. I go boop 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 snip, and then I could take my mouse and frame whatever image I had on my screen, and it would immediately copy that to the clipboard, and then I could use it to to do whatever. So I would like to do that when I'm working with Linux, and I don't know how to do that.
Well, actually, strangely enough, it works the same as at least on Ubuntu GNOME kind of desktop, which is what one are you using? Are you a Mint guy or what are you?
Well, I'm using with the Raspberry Pi. It's a different system.
It's not KDE is another thing. Plasma,
yeah,
or
something like that.
okay. Well, I can give you a couple. You give it a shot. One of the things is across everywhere is that print screen still works. It may not come up and say, hi, I'm taking a screenshot, but print screen does, take the screen, puts it on the clipboard, shift, and then print screen, hold down shift, print screen, will select
the
area.
Yes, that's handy. Yeah, that's a handy thing to have, but what I want to do, usually I'm looking at some image and I don't want to have the whole screen. I just want to,
focus. Shift gives an area, Alt will give a window, but if you don't want to do that, that's fine. The most popular one is something called Flame Shot. It's called Flame Shot. Okay. Flame Shot, all one word. Good old, you can go to your software manager in there, or you can drop on down to our buddy, the terminal, and do good old sudo app install Flame Shot. And away you go on that. That's the closest to Windows things. Now, if you really want to get into it, you'd go menu. After you install Flameshot, you would do menu, then keyboard, then shortcut, custom shortcut, and then make a new shortcut, like name it Flameshot, command, Flameshot GUI, and assign it to print screen if you like, or shift print screen. But you can, like, upgrade, you know, like, map your print screen key to do Flameshot space GUI, G-U-I, you know, the graphical unit. And then that would allow us.
Actually, back up just a minute. Sorry, I was just writing down Flameshot on my notepad, and I got a little lost. So how do I get Flameshot? How do I install
Flameshot? Well, the same as anything on a Linux distro. There's something called Software Manager under the menu system, and you can go there and follow that. Or if you're hardcore, you can drop on down to Terminal. You know how to get into a terminal. That's kind of a Linux thing without which nothing. So you drop on down to terminal. You sudo, so you have permission, sudo, and then sudo apt install with app install, and then the name Flameshot. So four words, sudo apt install Flameshot. And that will get you on there. It will download everything. Works great with Cinnamon and does all sorts of things, but I don't know what you're running there, but I think it's your best shot. Other than if you want to go old school and just use Shift Alt or just the plain print screen, that'll work. Okay.
Okay, I will go and try that.
Okay,
I'm a slow learner and a fast forgetter, so I better start working on it before I forget.
And you're going to want to map that to your print screen key or your Shift print screen. And you can do that under Menu, and then Keyboard, Shortcuts, and then do Custom Shortcuts, and name it, call it Flameshot space GUI, and then assign it to Print Screen. And then you'll kind of got a Windows experience there.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, keep those calls coming, Lee. Enjoy that.
All right. Thanks a lot. I had a nice Christmas vacation, and now we're back to the business.
There you are.
Okay, absolutely. Thanks again, Christy.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, God bless Lee. It sure is nice to have Lee back on the show. Just for a completeness, Raspberry Pi OS is a Debian variation, Debian 13, or Trixie, if you will, with an XFCE desktop. Now, you can't get Ubuntu. Don't write it. Now, screenshots with Print Screen is a classic. It moves the image to the clipboard, and you have to paste to a graphic program. I don't want to get out. I said Package Manager on the call. I should have said Package Manager, not Software Manager. Again, no emails, please. Flameshot's available on Windows and Mac OS in addition to Linux. So if you want to check it out, it's a free tool. It has lots of annotating tools. So if you do like user manuals and walkthroughs and things, it's really looking great and something to check out. And that's at bbtl.ink/screenclip. So bbtl.ink/screenclips. And it has its own key shortcuts. You don't have to worry about remapping keys to use it.
Well, speaking of keys, we have another phone call here to wrap up our daily phone calls. We've got Joan. And Joan and we are going to have a discussion about what makes a good password. And should we go to passkeys maybe? Well, I don't know. Well, let's see what we talk about with Joan here.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Christy. This is Joan.
Hey, Joan, with a cold. What's up?
Oh, I know. I do have a terrible cold. I am just so incredibly frustrated. I try to listen to the people I respect, like you, and I get Bitwarden, and then I get Password Manager, and I don't even know. I have like three of them.
Well, you gotta go with one and stick with it. Let's see where we're going. All right.
Okay. And so not every time, see, I'm exaggerating, but often enough to make me really angry. It tells me they don't recognize me. I have to go and get a new password and user thing.
Now,
that doesn't sound like a very big problem.
Somewhere you haven't logged in for a way long time, or what?
Well, possibly. That could be. Don't make excuses for those money grabbers.
Well, it used to be before like October, the good old NIST, U.S. National Institutes of Standards and Technology, used to tell people that, you know, they had to use a crazy character, special characters, and
right,
you know, yeah, all those crazy things, and change it every. I remember I had a job, I had to change it every 30 days. Was maddening. You couldn't use
it
the last 10.
And,
yeah, well, they threw all that out. maybe, yeah, they said no. We were wrong. We were wrong in that. Well, and partly because it's not humans typing type and guessing. I mean, we used to try to, you know, throw off humans, but now people just get the big iron on the cloud and rent a virtual server or fire up something on a big computer, and they just rip through every combination of characters. And so it don't matter if you put zeros instead of O's or whatever you're doing, or an exclamation point at the end, because they just rip through them all. They just go through every possible character because that's what they can do with the big computers. And so the only defense is a long password. So, you know, unfortunately, you have to go out to, you know, 16 characters or so, or 20.
But you do know I'm old. I can't even remember it.
Well, the good thing is you don't have to change it all the time. The only time you change it is if there's been a breach, like if somebody, a miscreant got inside and stole all the passwords. Well, then you have to change it. Just changing it because, well, it's, you know, it's been 30 days, you have to change your password. That's out. You don't do that no more.
Oh, good.
This was all in the Malware's Byte article in October about your passwords don't need so many fiddly characters, it says. NIST.
It is funny, just maddening.
Yeah. But a password manager can, you got to commit, and you got to be really disciplined about it. You know, if you didn't have the password and you said email and you were away from password manager and said email me a replacement and you changed it, you got to be really disciplined about updating the password manager.
Right.
Done that. I'm like one behind because I didn't update it when I changed it for some reason or another because it was on a device. I didn't have anything. You got to be disciplined with using it. Now, Bitwarden and others, sometimes they'll let you do a passphrase. So you can do a really long one, but it could be like four or five words with like a hyphen between it. So it's not crazy nuts trying to remember,
trying to
type it in. And if you got a password manager, you should just be able to click and copy it, no matter how crazy it is.
So should I do Bitwarden or password manager?
Well, you know, I use Bitwarden. I like it. But the password managers in the are you talking about the ones inside the browsers, inside your web browser?
I guess. I don't know where they are.
Okay. Well, they've gotten a lot better. They used to be almost laughable, but they've gotten a lot better. Yeah. And if you're committed, especially if you're committed to one browser, I'm always going to use Internet Explorer. I'm always going to use Chrome. I'm always going to use Brave. Edge, not Internet Explorer. No, please. Edge.
Right.
That might make sense. It might be okay. You sign in with your account. And that you got to remember, same as password manager, and you can do it that way. And I think that'd be fine. You got to watch to make sure no one can get a hold of either your password manager when it's open or your browser when it's open, because they can go up all day. I don't like keeping things directly in the browser because that's like, you know, the first line of defense against the crazy internet. And they get hit on all the time. I like to have it back off a bit and have it in a Bitwarden extension. But that's me. I don't know if that's reasonable, but
I don't even know what that is, Bitwarden extension.
Bitwarden is a program, and when a program is a helper, an add-on to a browser, it's called an extension to that browser. So you can get Bitwarden on your phone, you get Bitwarden on your computer, you can get Bitwarden as an extension that adds on to, globs onto your browser, and that's how most people use it. And that it's, you put it in, you install it, and it goes up. And,
well, I know Bitwarden, so I'll stay with that.
The thing is to be really disciplined about, if you change it anywhere for any reason, you've got to make sure you update it at Bitwarden.
Yeah.
And of course, when you create it, you have to use Bitwarden.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well,
thanks for letting me talk about the new NIST, NIST report.
And that helped. It really did help. I mean, I have such a little pea-sized brain, but I got that.
Yeah, the good news, you don't have to go all crazy with characters. Just make it long.
Oh, good. Okay.
Make it 18.
Yeah. It's a like the
answer.
Lord's Prayer, right?
Well, yeah, don't make it anything that's in a dictionary, because, you know, next thing, AI is going to be trying every phrase of that length or something.
I know.
Don't want to do
terrible.
That.
Terrible. Terrible. Right. Okay, Christy, thank you so much.
Oh, I hope you feel better, and I hope your passwords stay healthy as well.
Me too. I'll follow up with you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, National Institute of Standards and Technologies has finally delivered us from the ever-changing password every 30 days, special characters, spooky, whoopy, snarky characters, and zeros and ones and nuts. And that's all in a Malware Bytes article. I commend it to you, bbtl.ink/password-reset. Malware Bytes article. Now, if you want, you can always do bbtl.ink/stats, STATS, to get the latest and most popular links. There are other passwords managers out there. ProtonPass has me looking over at it pretty hard. There's NordPass, OnePass, RoboForm. LastPass is still around, my current favorite, before they got sold out and diced apart and neglected. It's so sad. Joe, I had a guy that said he's been using the same program for 10 years, and why is there problems now? I said, well, in 2003, it was a hobbyist that wrote it for his girlfriend. In 2026, it's owned by a company in Czechoslovakia. That's why the program isn't good anymore. Speaking of not good anymore, it's time for us to go. This has been Battleborn Tech. Call, text, or anytime at 775-241-3571. Thanks to our callers, Lee, Joan, and Steve. If you want to be a caller, call and tell us when we can call you back for get on the show. 775-241-3571. For consulting and tutorials, visit your local neighborhood computer shop, Carson City's Library Tech Busters, every Monday at 3 p.m., Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help, midday on weekdays, or computer user group like carsoncitylinux.org, meeting third Saturdays at Computer Core in Carson City. Theme music by Breakmaster Cylinder, that's break like phones that decided to try downhill skiing. Engineered by Joe Bly, who was battling tech before we were born. Ex post facto checker by Anthony, who is texting us right now how many CVEs were assigned to tonight's show. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of ChatGPT. Don't get mad. Get even by asking it to explain the difference between a trap and face-off, as in Guardian of the Galaxies Volume 3. This community nonprofit radio station welcomes your support. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Rewind this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on KNBC FM 95.1.